We're looking at the fundamentals for the gold market in 2017 as the Investing in African Mining Indaba gets underway in Cape Town. The World Gold Council says that demand for gold rose in 2016 to a three-year high, aided by keen investment appetite for the precious metal. Total demand for gold, whose twin drivers have been jewelry and investment buying, advanced 2% to 4,309 tons compared with 2015. Let's speak to John Mulligan, who is Director for Member and Market Relations with the World Gold Council, who's at the mining in Indaba. John, thanks so much for your time today. Before we talk about the fundamentals for the gold market in 2017 and what's happened in 2016, just give us a sense of your impression so far of the mining in Indaba.
Thanks for this opportunity to speak to you. It's been, I think, a very busy conference so far. I think there is an air of, dare I say, cautious optimism in the mining community. And I think that allows to look forward perhaps with a longer horizons than we have in recent years. So I think a buoyant atmosphere. I think there have been some notes of caution regarding the fate of the global economy. There have been several comments, of course, about the fate of the economy after the US election. But nonetheless, a rather upbeat conference so far.
All right. Our Minister of Mineral Resources was speaking and opening the conference. And one of the things that he said was that the industry's starting the year. It's a new season as metal prices recover. What's your sense, particularly, of gold's prospects for this year?
So, I mean, gold's had certainly if we look at 2016 and then how that looks moving into 2017, it's had a quite remarkable year, largely because 2016 was a year where the first three quarters were driven by basically one factor, and that was a heightened sense of risk from professional markets, from professional investors, capital markets, and they turned to gold quite substantially. So we saw gold ETF inflows over the whole year of 532 tons, but they were substantially more than that in the first three quarters. With the US election, we saw that whiplash change in investor sentiment in the professional markets, and that basically changed, I guess, the prospects for the ETFs. We saw outflows of 193 tons in one quarter, but at the same time, we saw a very strong recovery in consumer demand, particularly as it happens in China. But in the private investor across the board, the private investor market across the board, that is individuals, families, or private wealth buying into gold directly, you saw a very strong resurgence in the US, in Germany, and particularly in China, where you saw 122 tons of gold bought in Q4. So a sudden change, if you like, in the drivers of gold. And I think that's key moving into 2017 and where we are now and looking forward, because I think if you have a stronger consumer market, meaning the physical buyers of gold bars and coins and jewelry, and you also have, I think, a growing awareness that this sudden return to optimism that we saw after the US election, that maybe that was somewhat overdone. And the Dambisa Moyo's comments this morning at the Indaba were key to that. She also said that she wasn't so bullish on the prospects for the U.S. economy and the Trump policy decisions to stimulate growth. So I think professional investors are starting to realize maybe that sudden move away from gold was overdone. So I think those two things, if they come into play and continue, means that we have a fairly strong supportive year for gold. There are still headwinds, however.
Absolutely. And I suppose, you know, gold plays well in times of uncertainty. We've got Brexit. We've also, on the Chinese side, they recently increased interest rates. It wasn't too high, but there are growth implications when it comes to that as well. What's your view on China's own prospects and how that feeds into gold?
Yeah, I think it's a very good question. The Chinese, I think, there's two or three aspects to that. There is the general slowdown in consumption of broader commodities that actually needn't have such a severe impact on gold, because gold is bought for far more reasons than you buy a base metal. But nonetheless, that lack of confidence that has seeped into the Chinese consumer, their reduced expectations regarding their own income and their income growth, which are very important to gold, I think they have come to play. I think also if some of the policy decisions and impact on gold are actually aren't specific to the gold market. If we look at the erosion of Chinese central bank foreign exchange reserves, for instance, that explains why the Chinese postponed buying gold, the Chinese central bank, the PBOC, postponed buying gold for the last 2 months of 2016, because the value of its FX reserves, which are the vast majority of its reserves, they had diminished by 10% over the year, I think. So those things come into play. So there are challenges. That said, I think we've seen, and I mentioned the Q4 investment demand story. We've seen how a slight price difference, a slight change in a risk environment, shall we say, how quickly the Chinese consumer can come back to gold. So I think there are headwinds in the Chinese market. There are headwinds in the Chinese jewelry market, in the sense that the Chinese jewelry market needs to address the next generation going forward. And so our expectations are of a stable gold market in China, with some strong aspects of growth, particularly from the investment market. The investment market is still very young in China. I mean, people often forget that you couldn't legally own bars and coins in China until 2004. So there's great potential there. Per capita ownership of gold in China, it may be the world's largest consumer, but it's still actually very low. And so we're confident of further growth. 2017, we think, may be a somewhat muted year, but nonetheless, over the longer term, we're fairly confident.
Outside of headwinds in China, would prospects for U.S. interest rates be one of the other headwinds for gold on a global level?
I think the interest rate hike expectations and the probability of probably, I think most people, the consensus position is that there may be three hikes this year. Some are calling more. I think that it is the expectation in some ways that dampens the gold price, and that is largely because in capital markets, gold is often modeled based around interest rate expectations. It is often viewed as a currency, and therefore that's how it's modeled, and those expectations actually weigh on gold, sometimes more than the actual interest rate itself. So if you think that most people are calling for, I think, three rate hikes of a quarter of a percent each time, technically that will still not put us into a high interest rate environment by any means. Yeah. We'll still be in a moderately low interest rate environment. And if you look at history, certainly, gold actually performs reasonably well in a moderate interest rate environment. I think it is the expectations of each rate hike that basically are somewhat distracting for capital markets, and then they cause temporary headwinds for gold. They shouldn't endure. There's no reason why they should actually have a longer term downward pressure on the gold price.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thanks, John Mulligan, Director for Member and Market Relations with the World Gold Council.